Gyromite, this game is so intense, you can't play it alone. Welcome to Nostalgia, the only podcast that plays and reviews every NES game released in North America in chronological order. And in case you're wondering, I'm not really a huge fan of Gyromite, but as you might have noticed by now, we're kind of reading the back of the boxes as the descriptions for the openings of these episodes. So this is what Nintendo wanted you to get hooked on. They would say like something like, so intense you can't play it alone. Hence,
well,
I think they just forgot
you can't play it alone. Or at all.
Right. You will not be able to play this game alone unless, of course, you own a second controller because you totally don't need Rob. Like, if you think about it, any kid who just realized, oh, so Rob's just pushing the buttons? Like, my brother can do that. Like, okay, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
You can do that.
Who are we?
Oh, yeah. I'm Sean, by the way.
And I'm Mike.
And I'm Joe.
You know what, guys? We're all, like, still original members of the podcast. Like, that's beautiful in a way that, like, none of us have. We haven't missed an episode. Haven't skipped
true.
A beat.
That's true. Some of us can't say that.
Yeah. Some people who like to read manuals can't be with us.
He's not even here to defend himself.
But he's been busy. So let's move on.
So Gyromite,
let's talk about Gyromite. I'm sure everybody who's listening played this game.
If you haven't, I don't know who you think you even are.
Right. Definitely grow a second set of arms and play this game. Sean, initial impressions?
I mean, I got to say that, like, the fact that this game exists is beyond me. Like, I didn't know anything about Rob growing up because he existed basically as, like, a marketing decoy because they wanted to market the NES as a toy. Instead of, like, a computer system. So it's like, no, look, this is an actual thing that we have in front of you. That's your friend. That's your friend, Rob. Like, we're just going to...
Robotic operating buddy.
Yeah, yeah. And he's going to play with you. He's going to play all these games with you. And then you got two games, one of which is Gyromite, and it is bad. I hated this game.
Joe, first impression?
My initial impression was, what game is this? Because it says Robot Gyro on the... opening screen. The title of the game when you put it in is Robot Gyro, but on the cartridge is Gyromite. That's
so you
my
were worried
impression.
You had the wrong game.
Yes, and it was all downhill from there. Pretty much like Sean said, didn't have a lot of fun with this.
And my initial impression is one that has stuck with me for a really long time, that when I see Rob, like, he is so cool. Like, I'm like, wow, I can't believe Nintendo had this in 1985. And then when I see Rob do anything, I realize that is not cool. Like, Rob is not interesting. It's actually kind of pathetic, the three things that he's programmed to do.
And it just sounds, when he's operating, it sounds pathetic.
Yeah.
You need to help him up.
Sounds tedious.
Yeah.
The only thing futuristic about Rob is the way he looks.
Yeah.
Like, everything else is almost like, by 1986, 87, it's like, this is a chore. Like, playing with Rob is a chore, if we're being real.
Yeah.
You have to wait for him to push. That's the whole thing about this game. Let's just jump right into the game. Okay, real quick. The objective of the game, you have like these pipes that are in your way and you're the professor and you're trying to collect the dynamite, but really you try to clean it up essentially because you don't want it to blow up on you. It's a little confusing. And then there's also like these lab experiments that are running around and they're going to kill you. But you have to kind of work in tandem with Rob to open and close the pipes. You basically give him the order and then he does it. And then
you gotta like keep giving him the order.
Yeah, not only do you have to keep giving him the order, but the problem is like you gotta keep waiting.
Yeah.
You have to wait until Rob
They give you 1,000 seconds to play a level that like isn't even a screen.
A
of
full
Super,
level
of
Super
Mario,
Mario Brothers would never give you a 1,000 seconds.
At a certain point there's really not a need for there to be a time limit.
Right. At a certain point, like, who is the time limit for? Like, the time limit is more on Rob.
Yeah.
I feel like the time limit is like that Netflix thing where it's like, are you still watching? Like, after 1,000 seconds, it's just like, all right, this guy's not even playing.
Oh my gosh, wow. Like, Rob is like Nintendo's first like failure. Like, you know, like, like they, and they really don't talk about him at all until very like here's Rob after the NES. He shows up in Star Fox 64. I don't even know if he's in the original Star Fox and Super Nintendo. He shows up in Star Fox 64, and then he shows up again in Super Smash Brothers, which is pretty cool. Okay, again, another like NES style thing that just came back, kind of like Duck Hunt. It's like, is Klook, is Bubbles from Klookooland next to be in Smash? That could be a thing. Sorry, I'm getting in totally different tangent because this game is all over the place, and at the same time, it's absolutely nothing.
Yeah, no, this is just a companion to a totally useless product. I mean, yeah, it's definitely, if I were growing up in the 80s and...
You think you would have been tricked into buying this?
I would have been tricked. I would have wanted Rob. One, because I wanted a friend.
Right.
The fact that it would interact with the game in some way and be interacted by with the game, like that just sounds cool. Like,
right.
The fact that this thing, it's not plugged into the NES.
You know what Rob is? Rob is like Moon Shoes. I have to, this is personal, but like, I saw Moon Shoes at Toys R Us one time, and I was like, oh my gosh, Moon Shoes? Like, I'll be able to jump over my roof? Like, this is incredible. Like, I want this right now. Spent the $40 that, like, a kid, come on, $40 for a kid, that's a lot of money. Yeah, $4,000, that's right. And so I go to the store, buy the Moon Shoes, put them on. I think I jumped less high than normal. Like, I don't think I jumped any higher. It was like two pogo sticks on my feet. And that's what Rob is. He's like, you think he's going to be really cool, and he's just like, all he's doing is pushing the A and B button on the controller at the end of the day.
I know. And like the game itself, we're really talking about Rob right now, but like the game itself, it has no personality. All of the things that make the game anything rely on
just anything.
Yeah.
Like,
it relies on you sitting there next to some blue pipe, waiting for Rob to move his ass and just turn that the thing and put the gyro on the big blue button.
Right.
And like it, like the right. actual
and
the
you,
enemies
if you play without
the enemies aren't a threat to you unless you have to stand still for like 3 minutes.
Right. And once they're in quarters with you, you can't do anything to avoid them. You need to rely on Rob, which takes forever.
Yeah.
So they are going to, you can't jump over them. You can't, I mean, if you're closed in and you need Rob to open a door, you better have 30 seconds.
Right. But, wait, for which mode are you talking about? Because in mode A, in game A, you do get to, like, the option to give them some food so you can bypass them.
That's right. You can pick up those, what
but, like, no, I mean, like, that's really not good enough.
But do you ever need to do that?
They give you so much food in that level, too. Here's the thing. The puzzles were kind of, like, satisfying in a way. Like, at first, like, just like, oh, okay, cool, like, doing it, feel good. And then, like, it never got any harder. It never got any more interesting. They never stacked, like, ideas on top of each other. It was just like, oh, this is a new way to lay out this room.
It's a tech demo.
Yeah, it's a tech demo.
Right? I think my favorite part was when I found out you could crush the dinosaurs by closing the doors on them.
You can also crush yourself
that way.
You can
also crush yourself. Yeah. So...
I want to say real quick, though, that none of us have Rob, so none of us play the game properly. We were just playing with the second controller.
I was playing with the second controller.
Maybe we're not getting the full picture, and maybe like just with him being there, like I'd be like, huh, this is a pretty cool experience.
But I'm highly doubting that.
I'm doubting it, too.
So just from what I've watched of people playing with Rob, because, yeah, I also just played it with the controller, but it was not even fun to watch. Like, it looked tedious, and it was exactly the game that I played that it just took a lot longer.
I'll tell you what. If we get 200 total listens on this episode, I'll buy Rob and we'll do a Twitch stream with Rob.
Okay, sounds good.
We'll do a Twitch stream with Rob where we play this game and torture ourselves for you, the listener, okay? Because I'm telling you right now, listeners, if you haven't gotten the hint yet, this game is boring. You're waiting. It's waiting. It's a waiting simulator.
Yeah. This
Rob
piece of
is playing the game.
Is better when you're not playing the game. You go into direct mode. And you press left, and then Rob will go left. Like, it's better just as, like, a way to to tell Rob what to do.
Right, just like right, giving his life robot. Some meaning.
Yeah.
I would personally, I just wouldn't put Rob through that either, and I would just leave him unpowered. Such way he wouldn't even know about his own existence. All right, so that was game A. Now I have to just give a quick shout out to game B, where all you do in game B is, it's no real different than game A, except for you're not collecting dynamite, you're just trying to get to the end of the stage, but you don't control a character. The professor is just sleepwalking, and you just kind of follow these paths to the end, and you have to get Rob to open up the pipes at correct times, so this way you can go
press
to the
start a bunch.
Yeah, go onto the right path. And to be honest, it's worse.
Yeah,
like, to me, it's worse because sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, Joe, do you want to say something?
Well, no, I was just gonna say I thought when I started, like, this could have potential. Like, there could be some good puzzles where it's all about timing and stuff, and there just weren't.
Sometimes it came down to guesswork.
Right.
Sometimes it was like, oh, you went down the wrong end of the maze. Like, okay, but I couldn't see that. I don't feel like I should be punished.
Yeah, and when it wasn't guesswork, you had so much time to react. You could write it down before he walks so slow.
You could write it down. It's true.
So, I mean, and granted, I because the game, because the it was not fun, I didn't get to too high of levels. Maybe in level 25, it's really awesome.
I will say with confidence that I actually played. I played through all 40 phases. Okay. Because I think they're called phases in that game. There's 40 of each mode, and I played through all 40. Like, there was never a challenge. It was never not impossible to do it.
Right.
Like, it was just kind of like, wow, I guess, you know, since this is kind of like the first, if we're being real here, it's kind of like the first NES game we could beat.
Yeah.
You know, it has a defined limit. Like, Cuckooland, yes, had like 299 levels, but like, that's not a game I feel like I can beat. But this game... I did all 40 phases. It never got like challenging or like, oh, that's a new idea. Like, that's a neat way to collect the dynamite. Like, it never expanded upon itself. And honestly, for that, it should be a little ashamed.
Yeah.
As an NES game.
It kind of felt like it was, you see the level and you're like, oh, here's what you have to do. And now I can do it. Like, there was never, like, an obstacle. It was never like, oh, but what if this happens? It was like, nope, and now I did it. Like, just do this, do it, and it's done.
I usually try, with games like this, to give a conciliatory, hey, at least they're trying different things, something new, with different input mechanisms and all that stuff. But I can't, because Rob, as a peripheral, is, it's just like a cash grab and... I try to throw you off the scent of that. This is not just a computer system. This is Rob.
You know what bothers me? And that's a great point, Sean. It's Nintendo is so known for coming up with a gimmick and then figuring out which game works best with that. Like, we've seen that with Mario and Cappy in Odyssey, and we've seen that with Breath of the Wild and stuff like that, where they figure out first like what the game is going to be based around, and then they make a game, then they decide like which series and game it's going to be. Gyromite really just feels like, okay, they made Rob first, and then they said, okay, now what do we do with this?
Yeah.
And this was what they could come up with. Like, they should have came up with the game first and then said, this needs a robot to operate it. Like, you know, there's this is not this game. I'm not ashamed that I didn't play this with Rob.
Yeah.
Like, I don't feel like I would have gotten anything out of him. Watching the load times of him moving from one side using and just swiving his hands and stuff like that, and then pushing the button down and then it registering on the screen.
It just
feels painful.
Yeah, it's painful. And I do feel like he's having a hard time.
Right. And what I said before about it not being challenging, maybe with Rob it's more challenging, but I can't imagine it being challenging in a good way. I imagine it being challenging in like a way where it's like, because of the timing of Rob, like, it's just a frustrating, like, you know what you have to do and you're doing it, but Rob is too slow.
Right. All right. Let's bring it into our essential games list.
I'm gonna put this on the... No.
Okay, boys. You got a PC at home, big backlog. Dark Souls 3 just came out in the Humble Bundle if you pre-order for this month, and it's like, huh, should I pre-order for Dark Souls 3, or should I go on eBay, buy an NES, Rob, and a copy of Gyromite, and then never buy another NES game, because this is the definitive NES experience. Joe.
Nope. we kind of said it all. I mean, it's cool to look at, like, what they were trying to do. It's interesting, but it's not fun. I mean, that's
right.
Yeah, I mean, it might, if you have Rob, try it out. See what it's like with Rob, because we didn't.
If you have Rob, and you're still listening to this.
But if you feel forced to play a game with a robot buddy, maybe.
Right. If you haven't tried it out, let us know if it's better with Rob, because we didn't play it with Rob. But I got a feeling the answer is also going to be nope.
Like, no, this is not an essential game. I think this game was just, it's relegated to just existing for being on, like, listicles about peculiar things that have happened in video game history. Of like this is going to be number 6 on, like, the biggest marketing fails, or number 3 on Nintendo's most, like, rarest peripherals. Like, it's just... It's definitely a cool talking point to talk about these games, because they're so out of left field, but the games themselves are trash.
So this obviously isn't making the essential games list. I'm a hard no. Here's my problem, though, okay? On the website, nostalgiacast.com, we have a list of every single episode and kind of like our verdict of whether it made essential, play it, or skip it. And we have games like 10 Yard Fight and Baseball listed as skip it because, quite frankly, they're just very primitive versions of those games that, you know, the right person, like the right retro gamer, could enjoy, but the general person's not going to enjoy. This is the first game we've come across, and granted, it's an NES launch game and it's early, but this is the first game we come across where I think that this is just a genuinely bad game.
Yeah, this is. I've actually been meaning to talk to you about this, but I think there should be another level,
like a garbage tier,
an actual trash heap pile.
That it's something to consider.
Yeah,
it is something to consider. Yeah. I mean, sooner or later, depending on when you're listening to this episode, you might have seen if I've gone through with it, but I don't know anybody who would fight us on this. And if you do feel strongly about Gyromite, please contact us at contact@nostalgiacast.com.
And I do want to say, too, like I said before, especially with taking Rob out of the equation and looking at the sleepwalking, the game mode B, I'd like to see someone make a good version of that, because that's kind of interesting, where you're not the character, you're controlling the environment, helping him through puzzles, but just the puzzles have to be good.
Absolutely. You know, I mean? Yeah, the puzzles have to be something more than, like, something I would find in, like, one of those activity books. like that you find at, like, an airport or something. And that's all the time we have for this episode of Nostalgia. Join us next time for Hogan's Alley, and be sure to play it yourself if you can. For more Nostalgia, please subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen, and be sure to check out NostalgiaCast.com. That's NostalgiaCast.com. There you'll find links to the show and show notes, as well as our other platforms such as Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. Thank you so much for your support of Nostalgia. We thank you for spending time with us. I'm Michael Esposito. You can find me on @EspositoFilm on Twitter, and I'll talk to you soon.